We had some excellent days with you. We felt your love, we felt your respect. Your hospitable spirit is amazing. I don't have words to express how blessed we go back to Greece tomorrow. And Pastor Young and Pastor Daphne have been such a good hostess for us. I just think this is amazing. I never crossed my mind that on this part of the world, the kingdom of God is progressing so rapidly. This is my actually second time in Singapore, and I'm so impressed from what the Lord is doing with you. Well, in Greece we have a saying. We say people are always happy twice when you visit them. They are happy when you say, "Hi, I'm here," and they are happy for a second time when you say, "Bye, I'm leaving." So I would like actually just give you just a small information. Me and Effie, we are married for 48 years. I married her when she was 17 and I was 19 years old. We have three kids, five grandsons. My youngest grandson is 3 months old, and I'm so anxious to go back. In 2 days, I'm going to hold him in my arms. We are so blessed. Our life was not an easy life. We've gone through many difficulties. Like Kazakhstan in Greece, the percentage of Christians are 0.001. Out of 11 million population, we are almost 20, maybe 22,000 born-again Christians. So you may find a big city with no church at all. In Athens, we have 5 million people and we have less than 70 churches. The largest, the average four or five churches are between 200 and 300 people. Our church belongs in that group, but the average membership is between 30 and 40. So you can pray for Greece. As I say, the first time the Holy Spirit visited our nation, it was when Paul came and preached the gospel in Greece. And after that, nothing. We just have some very small drops of blessing all over the country, but nothing more. So to be a pastor in that country is not an easy stuff. When you have to face your family because they persecute you, if you become a Christian, they consider you betray your country. To be an Orthodox and a Greek is almost similar. It doesn't mean they believe in God. They say, "I'm a Christian," but they don't read the Bible, they don't believe in God, they don't believe in a life after death, they believe in nothing. But they say, "I'm a Christian." So you see, there's a lot of religious spirit. And also in the Bible says in Daniel, he talks about the principality of Greece over Greece and over Persia. This principality still exists over Greece. And we need your prayers. We need your prayers a lot. We need to see a movement of God in this country. Amen. When I first started pastoring the church, I went through a very difficult time. You know, pastors are not always blessed. Sometimes you think we are going through blessing and testimonies and the Bible. That's not true. Many times we go through very difficult, dark moments in our lives. And it was a dark moment in my life, so dark like the verses we are going to share with you today from Luke chapter 18, verses 35 through 43 is the story of the blind man, Bartimaeus. But before I go to his life, because he lived in darkness, there was a period of time that I was in darkness. In the decay of 90s, we didn't have any internet in Greece. We didn't have any access in resources, Christian resources, like books in English, because in the Greek literature we don't have books to read. I was thirsty. I wanted to study more. I couldn't find any book. Now, my wife's sister was going back and forth in America, so she knew my need, and she would carry books all the time. One of these books that came in my hands, it was the book of with the title Intercessor. I took this book, I found it very interesting, And I took it with me when we went for vacations with my family. So we are near the beach, having vacations. I had private time. I read the book. I was so much influenced by the story of this man. I was so deep blessed with this man. I finished the book 2 days before we leave from the place to go back to Athens. And I'm so deep touched by this book. I remember I took myself aside under some rocks near the beach. And I'm having a very serious prayer with God. It was a dark moment for me because I couldn't see any increase in the church. I couldn't see any light around me. And I didn't know if my call in the ministry was real or not. You know, I had questions. Am I doing it because I can do it? Is it really God is calling me? And what is the result? How can I see that he's with me? I couldn't see it. So I did a prayer when I finished the book of this man. And so I saw how many miracles God was performing through his prayer. I did a prayer and I said, God, please, could you use me in a way that wherever I meet darkness, to come and gaze the darkness and bring the light of your gospel in the lives I meet. I'm here to dedicate my life. Please, please change it. I never, ever thought that this prayer could be so special. Came out of my heart. I went that night to bed and I had a dream. I saw a dream and I saw myself preaching in a small room, not like this. There was windows all around, glasses. And as I'm preaching like a pulpit like that, I see a person, and in my dream I knew it was a demon, was trying to enter the place and harm me. He was holding one of these metal things that the karate guys throw it like this, and it flies and hit the persons. I was not scared, but I saw that he was trying to get in. Finally, he managed to come in and he threw this metal thing against me. And that thing came and cut my face like that. And I woke up. And the first thought I did, I said, oh man, you must stop eating so much in the night. You have bad dreams. You have nightmares. But you see, that was a very irresponsible attitude from my behalf. I should pray. I didn't pray. I thought it was just a bad dream. So next day, it's the time to go. We are on the second floor on that hotel. There is no elevator, so I walk down the stairs, go and I get my car outside of the hotel. I go up again. I get 2 suitcases. I bring them down. I go up again. I take some more luggages. I take them down. I wake up. I don't sleep. I wake up. Third time I coming down, I carry a small box with plates and spoons and knives. My oldest daughter walks before me. I come down from the second floor. I'm just ready to step down from the first floor. And I feel a hand behind my back push me like that. I felt it. And I fell down. And I fell down with my head down. I go 5-6 stairs. And I stopped and I stood up. I checked my bones, if I broke anything, everything was okay. So I said, thank you, Jesus. I can drive, I can go back home. My daughter comes back to see what happened because I made a lot of noise. When she saw me, she goes, ah! I said, why? I just look around and I see my T-shirt was all red from blood. The wall was all red from blood. I realized something serious happens to me and I cannot see it. So I go back and I press the ring of the first apartment. It was the owner. This woman, 7 o'clock in the morning, opens the door. When she saw me, he goes, ah! I wanted to do the same. Ah! I didn't know why. I said, do you have a mirror? He says, yes! Ah! He shows me the mirror. I go before the mirror and I'm shocked. My lip, the upper lip, was cut off all the way. It was just only a small piece of flesh holding my lip. It was falling down. My head was open. The bone, you could see the bone. Here, over there. I grabbed the lip. I didn't want to lose it. I didn't know what to do. I just. And as I'm looking to the mirror, I heard an audible voice as I'm talking to you, behind my back. He says, "Well, you can curse your Jesus now. He didn't protect you as he promised you." And I knew it's a demon. The woman was seated over there watching me, and he saw me raise up my hand, and I said, "In Jesus' name, you will never get a word out of this mouth against my Jesus and my Savior. I rebuke you in Jesus' name." This woman goes, "Ah!" She thought she lives in a movie, you know, a terrorist movie, something like that. My wife came running. They took me to a doctor. They didn't actually, that place in the winter, nobody lives there. It's only for the summertime. There was a youth camp. They take me to that youth camp. There was a doctor over there. The doctor came from England just for the youth camp, but he was a plastic surgery. Can you believe that? He put me on this bed for 4 hours. He gave me 36 stinges all over my face. When he started doing the stinges here, I said, "Be careful, I want to kiss my wife again." And he was laughing. When he came here with my head, he says, "Man, you have three leathers. We have three leathers on our head, outside of the bone. You cut all three of them. I don't have stinges for the first level of your leather. What can I do?" I said, "Just push it like this and put stitches to the other leathers. It's okay. Everything will be okay." 4 hours. My face swallowed. I was like an alien. We returned back home. It's a long story. I will make it short. And after 2 months, I start smiling. I couldn't smile because of the stitches. I couldn't eat. I couldn't drink a lot. So a friend of mine, another pastor from Athens, came to me. He said, "You know, I will be in a youth camp. Can you come and preach on Sunday morning?" It was August. There will be very few people. I said, "Yes, I will come." So my first attempt to preach after my accident, I go to this service. I finish my preaching. And as I go out, a young girl came to me. He says, "Sir, can I talk to you?" I said, "Yes, of course." He came close to me. He says, "I want to kill you." Wow, I said, that's weird. I said, "Would you like to go back and sit over there and talk with me? I want to take her away from the people." He says, "Yes." We go and we sit to a chair. And I said, "Can I pray over you?" He says, "Yes, please." And the moment I put my hand on her and I said, "In Jesus' name," she fall down on the floor and start screaming and shouting with blasphemy and bad words, and foams came out of her mouth. She was demon-possessed. A lot of things happened in that day. I was shocked. I didn't know what to do. Never happened before. I've never seen it before in my life. So I said all the prayers I knew. Fastly. "In Jesus' name, come out. No, go out. No, come, go there. Anyway, go out." I didn't know what to say. And she turned to me, she looked at me, and she said, "I know who you are. If it was not for the anointing, I would have killed you right now." I was shocked. That thing finished. Everything come back to normal. I lost the book. I tried to find the book. I read it only once. And I want to read it more because that book learned me how to pray. And I'm sitting in my living room after 5 months, 6 months. It is 2 o'clock midnight. My kids are in bed. My wife is in bed. I'm all by myself. I'm still in that dark room. I don't know what to do. The church is not growing. I suffer. I had a good job. I was making money. My wife was a very famous singer in Greece, gospel singer. I was having a lot of invitations go all over Greece and preach and sing. We had a live program on TBN channel, the Christian channel in Greece, every Monday, a live program. Everybody knew us, I was a celebrity. Hey, you follow me, all right? You take the good side, I told you, that's it. He's very serious. So I didn't need the church. I want to get rid of that church. But I didn't know what to do, so it's 2 o'clock in the midnight. And I'm thinking, I read in this book how to pray. I will do that kind of prayer. And I kneel down. Nobody listens to me. And I do this prayer, and suddenly the Holy Spirit comes over me. And I found out myself speaking in tongues and talking and rebuking demons and powers and principalities. I found myself with such authority talking to these creatures, these forces. First time in my life I felt like a pastor, I have authority. And I started rebuking demons. I said, get out of my church, get out of this door. And I said, God, I ask your permissions and I order angels to come out of the door of this church. Open our door, let people come in. I want angels to welcome the people the moment they enter the place. 30, 40 minutes. It was so powerful when I stopped. I thought, what happened to me? What is going on? I've never felt that before. I've never done it before. Next day, 8 o'clock in the morning, I open my business. I make my coffee. Before I finish my coffee, a lady comes in running. That woman, I was evangelizing her with my wife. She was, how you call them in English? Medium? Fortune teller? She was all with demons and stuff like that. 8 o'clock in the morning. She came in. I said, are you okay? He says, yes, but I came to give you a message. I said, what message? She looks at me and she says, listen to this. I heard what you prayed last night. And I'm here to tell you, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your son. I'm going to destroy your family. And I'm shocked. I said, what is going on? Until I realized what is going on, she's almost cursing me. So I said, stop it. I lifted up my hand. I said, listen to me. Jesus controls my life. Not you. Not your God. Not the messages you get. He ordains my life and my future. And my life and my family are under the blood of Christ. And when I finished, he goes, oof, 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 and she disappeared. I never saw her again in my life. I lost her. But at the same time, I lost the book. I couldn't find the book. I was looking around. I couldn't remember the title. Last year, we are here in Singapore. We came. Pastor Young was so good with us. He had never met us before. I sent him a text. We have a common friend from Singapore. And he has connected us with the mobile phones. I said, Pastor Young, I will be in Singapore. He says, oh, I want to see you. Okay. He drove. He came to our hotel, picked us up. We came over here. He gave us a tour to the church building and everything. We go to the bookstore. My nephew, who is our second pastor, he goes to the bookstore. He bought some books. We left. After a month, I'm eating with them, and he says, Uncle Memos, you need to read this book. I said, what book? He says, this book is talking about prayer. I said, what is the title? I was indifferent. He says, the title is Intercessors. I said, what? He says, Intercessors. I says, where did you find this book? He says, in Singapore. I said, how? No way. It's impossible. What? In Singapore, this book? He says, yes. You have to buy it. I said, yes, I ordered. I think you had only two copies from in your bookstore when my elder was here a few months ago. He called me and said, buy all the copies he has. Bring them all. I may lose all of them. I want some. Bring them all. I called Pastor Young. I said, Pastor Young, do I have the permission to translate the book in Greek? And publish it? Yes. He says, yes, do whatever you like. Listen, right now we finish the translation of this book. And I said to my elders and the leaders, I said, I don't care how much money is going to cost us. I'm ready to print thousands of that book, and I will give them free to every born-again Christian in Greece. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I want them to find out how to pray,
yes,
and how to fight and win the battles in the spirit.
Yes.
My leader said, we try to save some money. We want to make our own, build our own building. Is it okay to spend money? I said, I don't care. We have to influence this country. And as I said to your husband, without him realizing it, you already put a seed in our church, in our nation.
Hallelujah.
And we believe this seed will bring a lot of fruit in the future.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I said, how can you do that? How can you coordinate all these appointments? What is going on?
Yes.
God says, I'm still on my throne. Yes. I'm still God. I got control time, earth, people, anything I like. It's amazing for us. You see, in our story in the Bible, Bartimaeus was blind. And when you are blind, it's very tough. Some years ago, even though I'm an optometrist, I lost my left eye. I can't see. If I close my right eye, I can't see anything. Very, very little light over here. So I know how it is to have nothing before you. And that man was blind all of his life. He had no idea how the world looks like. We are many times in very difficult moments in our lives. We may have the physical light, but sometimes we can't see the spiritual light. Or we are so much in a storm, closed in a situation which is so dark, we can't find our way through. We don't know what would be the solution of our situation. We don't know what the answer may look. And many of us, I used to say that, we are either in a storm, or if you are not in a storm right now, you just came out of a storm, or if you haven't just come out, probably you're ready to get in a storm. This is life. Everybody's like that. And this blind man, I can say despair, can I say anguish? I don't know the feeling, but definitely he didn't feel very well being all his life in this darkness. And we see this man standing in a gate, begging for money, just to survive. He's blind, but listen, he can listen. You may be blind in a situation, but listen, you have ears, you can listen. He was blind, but he still had a mouth, he could talk. And we forget all that stuff. When we're in a dark situation, we forget that we can still talk and pray to God. We forget that we have ears and we can still listen to His voice. Because you see, darkness overwhelms our situation. And we read in verse 36, he was sitting to the gate, and we read, and hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. He heard people passing by, noise, voices. He asked, guys, what's going on? Some of them told me, Jesus of Nazareth is coming. And that is so beautiful, Because wherever you see needs, you see Jesus. Sometimes I'm asking my leaders in the church, I said, tell me, If Jesus was with his body today on earth, where would be the place you will go to find him? In a church? Probably not. Only in places that people have needs and suffer. Because he loves people. And wherever there are needs, Jesus is over there. He's around us and he's alive here today. Because some of you have needs. Some of you are going through dark moments in your life. But you have to be very careful. We need to have ears to listen to his voice. His voice can come to us through a sermon, through a teaching, through a brother, a sister, through a prayer. You have to open your ears so you can hear. This blind man heard people shouting and telling him something. Listen to this. In 37, the people told him, he says, so they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. He heard a sentence. Who is passing by? Jesus of Nazareth. And what did he do? I was ready to speak in Greek. So what was ready to do? He heard, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And you go in verse 38, and what he says? And he cried out saying, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. They told him one thing, and he shouted out another thing. Jesus was known as Jesus of Nazareth. But he realized that Jesus is the son of David. And he starts shouting, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Which means, Jesus, I acknowledge you are the Savior. You are the Messiah I'm expecting. You are the person I'm asking to help me. You are the answer in my problem. And instead of saying Jesus of Nazareth, he says Jesus, son of David. He acknowledges that he is the Messiah. He was a blind man. He was begging for his life. So you see, the revelation about Jesus has nothing to do with how much knowledge you have. It doesn't matter how many universities you have finished. It's a matter of heart. How much you need him. How much your ears and your heart is open. This blind man realized that what the prophets have said is about this guy who's walking down the road. He's the Son of God. He's the Savior, the healer, my friend. He's the answer of the Father for my dark moments, for these lonely moments in my dark situation. In verse 39, we read, then those who went before warned him that he should be quiet. Jesus was walking. Some people were walking before, in front of Jesus, tried to open the way for him to walk. They heard the blind man. They ran to him. They said, hey, hey, stop it, stop it. Shut up. Don't talk. You're too loud. That will happen all the time in your life. Sometimes some Christians will come to you and say, hey, your prayer was so loud, stop it. You don't need to dance, you don't need to worship like that, you don't need to pray like that. Be quiet. Don't listen to them. Open your heart to him. Just worship him the way you like. Because at the same time, even though this guy said, stop, don't shout, they heard Jesus talk to them. And they said, bring him to me. In verse 40, as I said in the morning service, is one of the most sensitive verses you can read in the Bible. So Jesus stood still. Hallelujah. Oh God, what a Savior we have. What Lord is Jesus? So many crowd, so many people. His mission was so important. His time was limited. Yet, he stood still for a blind man. He stands still today for you, for your family, for your son and your daughter, for your business, for your situation. Sometimes we think that he's so busy, and he's very busy. And I think so. I said, Lord, I pray and I haven't answered anything yet. Probably you are very busy. Can you say please to this secretary you put to do your job to wake up because he falls asleep? I don't get my answers. And the Lord says, no, I'm still here. I have time for you. 8 billion people. And you tell me you still have time for me? And you say that you just stood still for a blind man with zero value for the community? Yes, he did. This is our Lord. This is your Savior. This is the God we worship and we pray. And verse 40, he goes on and he says, and when he had come near, he asked him, saying, I'm going to give you some Greek words now. Probably you don't never heard about that. But Jesus stopped and he said, brought him to me. In the original text, this phrase is ekelefsen afton achthine pros afton. It's all Chinese, it's all Greek for you. Chinese for me, Greek for you. The verb achthine is a passive voice, which means, in the Greek understanding, Jesus said, bring him to me. It means that this blind man can do nothing by his own. So he has a passive attitude. So somebody has to energize, somebody has to put some energy and bring him close to Jesus because he cannot do it by himself. So he's all by himself. He needs help. Yes. Listen, you have a lot of help in this church. You have many ministers. You have pastors. You have elders. You have brothers and sisters. And sometimes when you feel weak, pick up the phone and say, please, can you come and visit me? Yeah. Can you come and help me? Please. I'm not scared to expose my life. And I expose my life a lot these days. You heard a lot of my secrets. You know why? I'm not the same. I know you are the same like me. But I choose the other way. I choose the way to say, this is my need. Can you please help me? I cannot move. I cannot do nothing. I live in darkness. Can you please push me a little bit to the right direction? And the guys helped the blind man to come close to Jesus. He did nothing. He couldn't do anything. So they grabbed him from the hand and lead him to the direction where Jesus was. And the next phrase, again in Greek, says, "Εγίσαντες δε αυτού επερώτησεν αυτού λέγον." The verb "εγίσαντες" is energetic voice. It's different. He came close to Jesus. The crowd made a whole circle around Jesus. They want to see what is going to happen. The blind man, somebody leads him close, but he doesn't know where Jesus is. So if you don't see anything, how do you find your direction? How do you know who is talking? You hear the voice and you go like this. And Jesus demanded from him to take action at least for the last 2-3 steps. He will be demanding from you to take action. When the pastor and the elders bring you before the altar to pray, you have to do something for that. I cannot help you if you don't want. Nobody can help you if you don't say, yes, Lord, I'm here. Yes, Lord, I'm going to touch you. I can't see, but I'm going to say it. How? I listen to your voice. Oh, I touch you. I hear your voice. I touch you. I know where you are. This is what this blind man did. He moved with his hand and he touched Jesus and he found him. And that was the connection time. And when touched him, Jesus says something which is weird. I heard many preachers talk about this verse, and usually they all have the same question like me. Because in verse 40, says the blind man, "What do you want me to do for you?" If I was a blind man, I would say, "Are you really asking me? Can you see I'm a blind man?" Many preachers say, "Why did he ask that question?" Is it, in Greek we say, is it a rhetorical question? Which means you ask and you don't expect an answer. It's very obvious, the answer. No, it's not even that. Actually, Jesus is the only person in the universe who can make this question. Because he says, "What do you want me to do to you?" He could say anything he could imagine. And Jesus would do that to him. He's the only one who can promise and say, "What do you want me to do for you? I want to be healed. You have it. I want to help me there, this, that, over there, this one. Yes, I can do it for you." He gives a sentence, says, "Tell me, what are you asking from me? Name it and I will do it." I cannot do that for you. Nobody can do it for you. Only he can do it and say, "Tell me, name it, and I'm here to help you." And the blind man said, "Jesus, I want to see." And when I read the story, I said, "Bartimaeus, you could add some more stuff. I want to see. I want to have a good job, I want to have some money, I want to have a wife, I want to have kids." Why you didn't add? He could give everything. When he says, "Tell me, what do you want me to do?" It's an open question. No limits to this question. I can do anything you like, anything you need, whatever is your need. In these dark moments we all go through, we want his answers. We want him to touch us. We want to feel his presence. And the only way we can do it is when we humble our hearts. How do you humble our hearts? Your heart. I can show you a way today. Are you ready? No? Okay. Nobody said no. Are you ready?
Yes.
Are you ready?
Yes.
That's it. Because what I'm going to ask you to do tonight, whatever your need is, let's imitate the blind man. Would you like to stand up? Praise God. How do I humble myself? Like the blind man. He was blind. They told him, "Shut up, don't shout." He says, "Leave me alone, I don't care. I have a need." What did he do? He starts shouting, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Can we all shout this phrase? Can you close your eyes, lift up your hand, just for yourself and your own personal needs, for your family, for every situation? And we humble ourselves. I can do it and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Let's shout it to him with all our hearts. Don't be ashamed. Let your neighbor listen to your voice. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on my family. Have mercy on my kids. Have mercy on my health. Have mercy in my problems. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy in my depression. Have mercy with my mind, my emotions." Hallelujah. Let's worship him. Let's speak in tongues. Let's lift up our voice to Jesus. He's here and he's asking you, what do you want me to do for you? This is your moment. This is your time. Let's lift up our voices. Come on. Come on, church. Let's lift up our voices. Hallelujah. Σε ευλογούμε. Σε ευχαριστούμε. Σε δοξάζουμε, Κύριε. Ναι, είσαι Θεός Άγιος, ένδοξος. Hallelujah. Oh, Rababashia Narama Santalarama Kantaya. Oh, La 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 Ramo Santaraba Kandarabo Sira Baba Kantaya. Jesus, Son of David. Jesus, my Messiah. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on your people and your church. Oh, Jesus, Son of David. Jesus, Son of David. We praise your name. We glorify your name. We glorify, we invite you to stand beside us. We invite you in our situation, in our problem, in our darkness. We invite you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Listen to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.